Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
We started a series last week called I Am, and what is so significant about those two words is it is the name that God chose for himself. When he introduces himself to Moses in the burning bush, he tells Moses, "My name is I Am." He could have said, "I'm the creator. My name is helper. My name is friend. My name is sustainer. My name is creator." And all of those titles would have been accurate, but none of them could contain the fullness of who God is, because how many of you know God is big? So when he tells Moses his name, he says, "I am who I am." In other words, I am whatever you need when you need it. So if you need a healing, I am the Lord that heals you. If you need help, I am the ever-present help in time of need. I am who I am. I do what I do. Turn the person next to you and say, he is. Who he is. So today I want to go deeper into understanding who God is and what he does by starting to look at the I am statements of Jesus. There are seven different times throughout the Gospel of John that Jesus will use the title I am to describe himself. And you have to understand that is very big language for the Jewish culture of the day. Because when Jesus says, "I am," he is declaring that he is God. He is not a helper of God. He is not just a man sent from God. He is not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. You know, there are a lot of people, they'll say, "Well, I believe that Jesus was a good man." You have to understand he was more than a good man. Some people will say, "Well, he did a lot of good things." You have to understand he was more than just an individual who did good things. He wants them to know that I am God. I am the God who was before all things. I am the God who created all things. You want to talk about Moses and the burning bush? I am the God that was in the burning bush. I am who I am. I do what I do. I am a big God. I am God. Over and over again, Jesus declared to the people that he was not just sent from God. He actually was God. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you go down a little bit further in John, it says that Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. Think about that. The God who spoke everything into existence is now a man walking among his people, and his people did not even recognize him. And when he tells them, "I am," instead of getting excited, they get ticked off. It did not make Jesus very popular to say, "I am." As a matter of fact, that's ultimately why they killed him. They killed him because of his declaring that he is God, and they did not want to receive him as such. But I want you to understand this morning, and this is very important, that what you think about Jesus or what you believe about Jesus does not change who Jesus is. Does that make sense to you? You do not have the power to change who Jesus is, but what you believe about Jesus will determine what you can receive from him. Does that make sense to you? I cannot receive from him something that I do not see about him. I know several years ago, we were having a yard sale at the house, and our garage was like filled with all the stuff that we had stationed to move out into the driveway. And my wife had to go to work. And so on her way out, she just said, just take this stuff and just put it all out there and just put a price on it. And so I was like, hey, cool, I can do this. And so I found this container, this storage bin. And I took it and I set it out in the driveway. And I opened it up and it was filled with like something that looked like cheesecloth. And I was like, oh my God, why is she selling cheesecloth? However, I do think that I'm a pretty good salesman, so I was like, hey, challenge accepted. I'm going to sell the cheesecloth. And so this lady comes up, and to my amazement, she's very interested in this cheesecloth. And I'm like, okay, you are my target audience. So I start talking to her, and she's like, well, how much do you want for this bin of cheesecloth? I mean, she didn't call it cheesecloth, but that's how I'm interpreting it in my head. And I said, $15. You know, I'm going to take this lady to the limit, you know, like $15 cash. And like, wait, you buy now, I'll throw in the bin. And so the lady like happily accepts, she takes the stuff off. I'm really proud of myself until my wife gets home. The first thing I find out is that particular bin should have never been in the yard sale. However, I believe that's her fault. She told me, take it from here to out there. I did what she said. I don't read minds. The second thing I found out is that the bin itself, the container, all by itself, was worth more than $15. She had just purchased it to store what I thought was cheesecloth. It was not. It was props for her photography business. It was wraps to wrap infant babies in. And it was, we're looking at between $2,000 to $3,000 worth of cheesecloth that I just basically gave away because I did not recognize its value. Now get this, it did not change the value of what was in the bin. I just could not receive from the value because I did not recognize it. How many people are missing out on what God can do in their life simply because they do not recognize who He is? Some of us have grown up in a religion that has made God a flannel board character that did all of this stuff in the times of the Bible just to prove that He was God, but now He's basically just sitting in heaven waiting for the moment that He's going to return. He doesn't really do much for us now. That's how some of us have been brought up. And because of that, we never really receive much from God because we never ask anything of God. And the Bible teaches that you have not because you ask not. Think about how simple that is. It's possible that there are things I do not have in my life because I have simply not asked for them, and I have not asked for them because I don't believe that God can do it. And even if I think He could do it, I think He probably won't do it for me. You know, it's possible that Jesus still heals people, but I don't think He'll do it for me. I think it's possible that God still provides for people, but I don't believe that He'll do it for me. And what I am doing through my lack of faith is I'm actually hindering myself from receiving what God has for me. So as we go through these I am statements, I'm not wanting to just give you information. I'm wanting to give you information that will bring transformation. I'm wanting you to begin to see who God is, how big He is, and that He's more than enough for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, He's more than enough for me. He's more than enough for me. I am who I am. I'm going to take Him at His word. You know, there's a saying that's like, you should never meet your hero. Has anybody ever heard that? Like, don't ever meet your hero. The reason they say that is because once you get to see them up close, many times you're disappointed. Because before you get to know them intimately, all you get to see is their highlight reel. You get to see their Instagram stories. You get to see the successful moments of their life, but once you get to know them intimately, you begin to get a little bit let down because they're not who you thought they were. I want you to know this, Jesus will never disappoint you. The more you get to know Him, the more you're going to get to see what He can do. There's never going to be a moment that you get to know God and you say, well, I thought you were this way, I thought you said this, but you really don't. If he says it, he will do it. The Bible says that he actually honors his word above his name. It says that he watches after his word to perform it. It says that his word is sent to a place, and wherever it is sent, it will prosper and do exactly what he intends for it to do. God is not a man that he should lie. If he says it, he will do it. If he says it about himself, we should take notice. And so when Jesus says, I am, fill in the blank, he's saying, I want you to know what I am saying about myself. I want you to know what I am declaring about myself. So let's go to John, the sixth chapter. We're going to start reading in the 22nd verse. And this story takes place right after Jesus feeds the multitude. The Bible says that there were 5,000 men there. That does not count the women or children. So there could have been 15 to 20,000 people at this gathering where Jesus is teaching. They're hungry. Jesus has compassion on them. He finds 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He prays over it. He breaks the bread. It multiplies and he feeds the multitude. And the Bible says that they ate to their fill, which means they were completely satisfied. So that's where we're going to pick up here. But what I want you to know is anytime you see Jesus do something, there is always a greater revelation behind it. For instance, when he turns water into wine, he's not just running the open bar at a wedding. He's trying to reveal something, a greater truth about who he is and what he does. The same is true for this moment when the bread is broken and multiplied. Yes, he wants to feed the hungry people because he loves them. He has compassion towards them. He wants to meet their basic need, but he's trying to reveal a greater truth about who he is, and that's what he's going to get into here in John 6, starting in 22, the 22nd verse. The Bible says, on the next day, so this is the day after they ate. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. I want to stop right there, because so many times when it comes to the things of God, we want to know, what do I need to do? They're ultimately saying, what do I need to do to be doing the works of God? Do I need to be going to church X amount of times a month? Do I need to be giving X amount of dollars in the offering plate? Do I need to keep my hair cut short? Do I need to wear a hat, not wear a hat? What do I need to do? What kind of work can I do to receive the kingdom of God? And Jesus stops and he's like, it's not about what you do. You want to know the secret here? Here's the secret. You simply believe. That's it. That's your only responsibility. Your only responsibility is to respond to who he is and what he has done, which is great news, because how many of you know on our best day we are all failures? Please know that about your pastor. On my best day, I am still a failure. On my best day, I still fall short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior, and the good news is we have one. And his name is what? Jesus. So what must we be doing to do the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him, he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? That's hilarious to me because Jesus just got done walking on water. Like, how many more signs do you need to see before you believe? They're like, what kind of sign will you give us? What work do you perform? Then they said, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They're taking it all the way back to where God delivers Israel out of Egypt. And he says, they're saying to Jesus, well, back then they ate manna from heaven. God sent bread down from heaven. That's what they had. What do you do? He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Somebody say, whoever. Several years ago, Randy, who is our worship pastor, and myself went to a Mexican restaurant, and we found out that day they were doing what they called the Chimichanga Challenge. Anybody like chimichangas? It's a fried burrito, bro. You can't go wrong. And so they had these gigantic chimichangas. And the deal was you had to eat three of these chimichangas. There was a beef chimichanga, a chicken chimichanga, and a pork chimichanga. And your prize was a chocolate chimichanga. And I don't know if it's just my competitive nature. I don't know what it is, but I was like, this is it. This is my moment to shine. This will be my legacy. And so Randy and I eat the chimichanga successfully. And the chocolate chimichanga comes out, and it is amazing. But by this time, we're getting really full. By the time we finish it all, we are stuffed to the gills. Have you ever been like full? I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm satisfied. I mean like full, like I don't ever want to see food again kind of full. That's kind of where we were in this moment. Like it went from glory to regret very, very quickly. And I mean, it's so stuffed. It's like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to ever even consider food again. Until dinner time rolled around and I found myself hungry. You know, I do have the ability to go like lengths of time without food. And normally I can go anywhere from like 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. without a meal. And I'd eaten all this food and I thought, well, I'm completely satisfied. I'll probably never have to eat again. But the funny thing is, I got hungry again. By dinner, I was hungry. By the next morning, I wanted breakfast. I wanted to be able to break the fast between my dinner and now. And that's what's going on with these people. They've come to find Jesus because he fed them a meal. Now, the Bible says that they ate to their fill. They were completely satisfied. It means, Jim, you ate as much bread and fish as you wanted. It wasn't like a two-piece biscuit meal, like, oh, you're only going to get two pieces of the fish and a biscuit, and if you're still hungry, get over it. This was like, you eat the whole thing. It's all-you-can-eat buffet. You're at the Golden Corral, you know. Jesus, he's there, serving up all you can eat. And it says they ate to their fill, but on the next day, they wanted to find Jesus again because what they got is no longer lasting. They ate their fill. They were completely satisfied. But now they're here looking for Jesus to get another meal. And Jesus wants them to know that as long as you continue to pursue natural things, you will always need more. As long as you continue to pursue natural things, you will always need more. You're always going to need another drink of water. You're always going to need another meal. You're always going to need a new pair of clothing because that wears out. And if your whole entire life is based upon just fulfilling your basic needs, you're always going to get in this cycle of trying to accomplish it. And then many of us have this issue to where we always want bigger and better. So now we got to press harder and go stronger and go longer just to get the things that we think that we need. And Jesus is like, this is basically, he's telling them, this is a vicious cycle that you're going to get yourself into, and you're always going to need more, but I can give you something better than just fulfilling your basic needs. He's wanting them to know that I do more than just meet you at the point of your basic needs. I also meet you at the point of your deepest needs and your eternal needs. I don't just serve bread. I am bread. Think about that. I don't just serve bread. I am bread. See, all through Scripture, God shows himself as a provider. You can go through and read stories where God provides water. God supernaturally provides food. God supernaturally provides this. God supernaturally provides that. I think the people at that time, they had a grasp on the fact that God could provide stuff for them. But Jesus is saying, I don't just bring the stuff. I am the stuff. I'm not just a part of bringing the things you need. I am the very thing that you need. I am the bread of life. I am the only one that can bring ultimate satisfaction to you. Because what good is food if you don't have peace? What good is money if you don't have joy? What good is joy if you don't have salvation? And see, most of the time we spend our time, our effort, our energy, our finances into things that will never last. But what Jesus offers whoever is something that will last beyond just the moment and into eternity. What he gives never runs out. But if you do not realize that about him, you will live a life continually chasing after things, trying to meet your need. But if you've ever done this, you understand that it is a vicious cycle because the new always wears off. Am I right? The excitement always wears off. The new thing ends up becoming the old thing. And if your happiness is tied to it being new, when it gets old, what happens to your happiness? It's gone. This whole concept of Jesus being the ultimate satisfaction in our life is really beautifully illustrated through the story of him meeting with the woman at the well. I want to read this to you very quickly because I believe that if you'll pay attention, you will find out that you many times, and I many times, am the woman sitting at the well. And I believe today can be the day that Jesus comes to your well to meet your need. Watch this, John 4, 7 through 16. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank for himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." This is where it starts to get very interesting. This is where Jesus is going to start getting all up in her business. She thinks they're just talking about water and satisfying natural thirst. She thinks that Jesus is just going to give her something so that she doesn't have to come back to the well again to draw more water. And Jesus is like, no, 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 I'm not talking about just this water. I want you to know that there is living water. And when the woman says, well, give me this living water, he says, well, go get your husband. And she says to him, well, I don't have a husband. He says, you've answered correctly. You've actually had five husbands, and the man you are with now is not your husband. What's he doing? He's trying to show her that you have a deep need in your life that goes beyond just regular thirst. We all have the basic need of needing water, food, shelter, clothing. We get that. Jesus understands that. But he's trying to show this lady, you need more than just water. There is a void in your life, and you are trying to fill the void through relationships. Maybe it's a void of not feeling accepted. Maybe it's a void of not feeling love. Maybe it's a void of not feeling worth or value. And you're wanting this in your life. And so to get this, you're going to a man. The only problem is, obviously, it has not worked out for you because you have gone through five husbands and now you're with another man. This is a vicious cycle that you have found yourself in, and it is going to continue until you find living water. The reason I say that many of us can find ourselves in the narrative of the woman at the well is because many of us have voids in our life. As a matter of fact, I would dare to say every single person in this room has or has had a void in their life. It may not be the same thing that this woman is dealing with, and maybe you haven't tried to satisfy it in the same way this woman is trying to satisfy it, but we all have voids. And if you'll really examine your life, you'll start to see what you're trying to fill that void with. You don't have any joy, what do? To go to try to find joy. You don't have any peace? What is it that you go to try to find peace in your life? And the point Jesus is making is if you continue to go there, you're always going to have to go back over and over and over and over again because it will never truly satisfy you. But if you understand that the one you are talking to has the ability to give you a drink that will cause you to never thirst again, if you will understand that I've got some bread called me that if you will eat of, you will never hunger again. You'll never have to go to temporary places or temporary things to fulfill a deep need. How many of us are trying to fulfill a deep need with a temporary solution? I've done it in my life. And I am continually learning through the process of time that he is the only one that can truly satisfy. He is the only one that can give me a joy that cannot be taken away. Because his joy is not determined by what is happening to me or going on around me. His joy is based upon what he has done for me and is doing in me. He's the only one that can give me peace that remains in the midst of the storm. It doesn't mean that all things are always going to be okay in my life. It means that I can have peace as long as I continually go to the right source, the one that never runs dry. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Now watch what he says in John 6:48. I want to start bringing this to a place to where we can receive communion today. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers, it's true, they ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. In other words, they ate bread, but the bread they ate could not sustain them. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. It's not the manna you thought. See, in that moment, God was showing to his people that I am a provider. I can meet your basic needs. So I'll send manna from heaven. I'll send quail. God is revealing that's a part of who I am. Yes, I am the God who provides. I am the God who has the ability to meet your basic needs. Yes, I am the God who comes on the mountain, and as I'm teaching, I move with compassion because I see you're hungry. I want you to know that is who I am. But there's more to the manna that you need to see. I want you to see that if you eat the bread that comes down from heaven, which is me, you will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone today eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. I don't just provide your basic needs. I don't just meet your deep needs, your need for love and acceptance and worth and value. I'm the only one that can meet your eternal need. I am the only one that can bring true salvation into your life. I am the bread of life. Nadia, he's the bread of life, and he was broken. The bread was broken so that we could receive. See, when we go to the story of Jesus feeding the multitude, many times we see the breaking of the bread and we see it as a story of provision, which it is. Many times we'll see it as an illustrated sermon for God, little as much when God is in it, and that's true. But what we fail to see is that the bread of life is holding the natural bread. And as he breaks it, he's giving them an illustrated sermon of how the bread of life would be broken. Then it begins to multiply, and they begin to pass it out. And everyone who receives the bread is satisfied. What's he trying to say? I'm the one that is broken for you. My body, my flesh, which is the bread, is broken for you. And anyone that receives of this bread will never be hungry again, because I'm going to give you a satisfaction that will take you into eternity. He is the bread that was broken for you. But if you do not believe that and receive that for yourself, then you cannot receive from who he is. You can sit here today and witness the crowd being fed and still leave hungry. And that's what breaks my heart about pastoring a church, is knowing that there are people that will come in today and see people fed and still leave hungry. Hungry because they never lean into what God is saying to them. And God is saying to you today that he is the bread of life. He is the bread that you need. This morning we're going to receive communion together. If you go ahead and get it out, we're going to start with the bread. Jesus says that this bread is my body, which is broken for you. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, his body was broken for me? The Bible says that he was broken so that we could be made whole. What does that mean? That means that we get brought to this place of completion. There is no lack in my life. Everything that I need has already been brought to me. If I need healing, my body is made whole. If I need peace in my mind is made whole. If I need help in my life, I have help in my life because the bread was broken for me. And by his stripes, I am healed. So this morning as we receive the bread, we're not receiving a wafer. Please get this. Bob, we're not receiving a wafer this morning. We are receiving the body of Jesus Christ. This is a holy moment. This is a sacred moment. This is not a tradition. This is something that Jesus instructed his followers to do. As often as you remember me, I want you to come together as the family and I want you to break the bread, remembering how I was broken for you. Would you just break the bread this morning? And now I want you to receive of who I am. So when I receive the bread this morning, I am receiving who he is into my life. You may receive the bread. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. On the same night, before he was arrested, he was with his disciples, and he said, "This cup is my blood. And the reason my blood is going to be shed is to destroy sin." And I want you to really grasp hold of this truth this morning. His blood does not just cover sin. His blood eradicates sin. The word used in our scriptures is for the remission of sin. It's as if it never happened. Some of you this morning, you're carrying the guilt and the shame of your past. And Jesus is saying today that is no longer your guilt or your shame to carry. Debbie, the lady sitting next to you, is it Maria? The guilt and the shame is no longer ours to carry. The opinion of who people thought I was based upon what I have done is no longer mine to carry, because in Christ, I am a brand new creation. Think about that, Nick. In Christ, you're a brand new creation. You're not just like upgraded. When you come into Christ, you're not even the person that you used to be. You may carry the same flesh. You may have the same thoughts at times, but you need to remind yourself, because of the blood, that's not who I am. And so when we receive the cup today, we are receiving him. We are receiving the one who has the ability to make all things new. Would you receive the cup? Father, today, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for doing for us what only you can do. We thank you for touching us. We thank you for helping us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for delivering us. With every head bowed, every eye closed, in this moment, if you have never received Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, and this message today touched you in a way to where you go, you know what? I know he is who I need. Now I'm just going to ask that right now, you take your hand and lay it over your heart. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God all over the room. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask that everyone would say this prayer with me. Father, I thank you for coming in the form of Jesus. I thank you for dying for me. Today, I ask that you would become my Lord and Savior. I ask that you would forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you put your hands together and just celebrate with everyone who made that decision this morning?